This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson. Today we're speaking with Henriette Alban, who recently completed the midwinter Bob Graham round in record time. So lots of you will be familiar with the Bob Graham round, but it's the kind of classic English round in the Lake District. Very, very difficult to do in any weather, but Henriette did it in December, sort of contending with snow and wind and ice, and she did it faster than any man or woman. So it's an amazing feat, and she comes on and talks a little bit about the round itself, but also, which I think will be useful for a lot of people listening, just how to train for a really hilly event such as this, or hilly challenge. Worth listening to. I think we've got to start, unfortunately, with just some tragic news from the running world, which is the death of Kelvin Kiptum, the world's fastest marathoner. He died on Sunday evening, the 11th of February, in a car accident alongside his coach. And obviously, it's amazingly sad. He's only 24 years old, seemingly destined to be the first man to complete a sub-2 marathon in race conditions. And that's something he was looking to do in Rotterdam in April. And our thoughts are obviously just with his family and his friends on this really, really tragic news. So, a sad note to start the podcast on, but I think appropriate that we do so. We've had a letter in, actually, from a listener called Patrick Arminio, and he said he'd like to hear an episode with tips about training for an uphill marathon. Last year I tried this one, which is the Jungfrau marathon, which is one of the hardest marathons in the world. Essentially, it kind of starts off flat and then just goes up for about 13 miles. Ends up a mountain in Switzerland, I believe. Wants to try it again next year, so eager for some tips. Well, I think Henriette does talk a little bit about how to train for uphill marathons. And we are going to do a treadmill special. And the reason I mention that is because I think some of the solution for you, Patrick, is going to lie in the treadmill, unless you happen to live in the mountains or a very hilly area. Because I think the kind of specificity that you can get on a treadmill, if you just angle it to say 15 or 20%, is something that's quite hard to replicate if you live on kind of a relatively flat city. So some of the answers probably going to be there, and I think Henriette's going to touch a little bit on that as well, in terms of how to do it from an outside perspective. So hopefully that will be of use, but you can let us know. Please, if anyone else has got a letter they want to write in, it's always great to hear from listeners, and we do try to incorporate suggestions for episodes. So if there's something that we haven't covered that you think would be really useful, then please let us know. That's podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. All right, let's bring on our guest of the week.
Guest of the week, here in the studio. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
All right, well, cast your mind back to December. What did you get up to over Christmas? Drink a bit of wine? Eat a bit of turkey? Perhaps you even go out on a few runs, you dedicated devil, you. Well, our next guest ran the Bob Graham round in the Lake District, and not only that, she ran it quicker than any man or woman in history.
Wow.
And now holds the record for the fastest midwinter round outright, 17 hours and 55 minutes. Here to tell us a little bit more about the hows and whys of this incredible feat, it's Henriette Alban. Welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Thank you very much. That was quite the intro there.
Yeah, we're working on it. It's like a kind of desert, it's like the Desert Island Disc, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Can you tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your running history.
I just turned 33, actually. And I've been dabbling in the trail running scene for a good, 10, 15 years now, I think. Sort of just started off as a fun hobby, easy way to get out, stay fit and sort of train. And since COVID, really, it's just been more of it. And I've trained more than ever. And yeah, done some international races, got some decent results, got some sponsors. So it's sort of what I do now.
Amazing,
yeah.
I love that sort of, I mean, as a silver lining of lockdown, the sort of the stories of those people who found running and really like lent into it and have now like made it, I mean, part of their lives for those general bods, and then for the people who've made it into a career, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I know, compared to our lockdown story, Ben.
Yeah. Very limited.
Very limited. So what attracted you then to the Bob Graham Round? Obviously, it's big news in the fell running community, but you're based in Norway, aren't you? So does it have a kind of international appeal as well, do you think?
I'd say it certainly does. I'm Norwegian. I'm based in Norway. I'm married to John Alban, who's English, and I also studied at Bath University and lived in the UK for 4 years. So I've certainly got a connection to the UK and sort of fell running scene out there as well. But our neighbour, Killian Jornet, he had a
who?
Crack at the Bob Graham.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy. Oh, all right. Yeah.
The guy who runs up mountains quite a lot.
Yeah. Oh, the Everest guy. Yeah. And everything else.
He lives in the same area, and he had a crack at the summer round a couple of years ago. And I've just been in awe at Beth Pascal and Jasmine Perez's times on the summer round as well. So it's always just been on my radar. And I'd done quite a lot of trail races, well, for the past 10 years, really. And I was sort of about to end my trail running season in 2023. And then I thought to myself, oof, I want to do one more thing, be it a race or a personal project or something. And then I thought back to what trail running, you know, things have really excited me in the past couple of years. What have I really enjoyed? And I realized it wasn't actually necessarily the races. It was actually more the sort of FKT personal projects, go out, have an adventure, and experience something a bit more unique. So then I started considering different sort of routes that I could do. And it turned out that we were going to the UK to see John's family the week prior to the 19th of December when I decided to do the Bob Graham Round. Mm. It sort of just worked out timing-wise as well.
That's amazing.
And then I realized there's such a thing as a midwinter round starting on the 18th. So the timing's just lined up perfectly. And I thought, you know what? I'm really excited about doing this. It gets me super fired up. I'm going to go for it and have a crack at the midwinter Bob Graham round.
Amazing.
I kind of like, I like the spontaneity to this attempt. Like, I feel like there's, I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like you had an idea of what it was that you wanted to do, but it was kind of like picking and choosing, and the time of the year just that meant that this was the one that came there. How spontaneous was it? Do you know the round? Have you recce'd some of it? Like, were you going in completely like blind with a guide? Like, how did you sort of work out how to approach it?
So I was sort of looking at things to do end of October, and I think it was very early in November that I decided to do it, to do the midwinter round sort of mid-December. So yeah, it was, a you know, 6 weeks before I sort of went, right, I'm gonna do this. So definitely quite spontaneous for sure. I then contacted some people that I knew in the lakes and quickly understood that this isn't something you just rock up to sort of have a go at. You need to do the wrecking, you need to get to know the locals, you need all the pacers to help you on the day itself as well. So I actually ended up sort of just traveling out there mid-November, doing a recce route, meeting up with some runners and some people who'd be willing to support me on the day. And as it turned out, that was invaluable, super important for the actual attempt itself. And I think if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have set the time I did in the end.
What were the conditions like? I mean, I've walked in the lakes, done some running, but only in the summer months, and it can get pretty wild even then, in kind of July, August. Like, what kind of weather did you have to kind of contend with in mid-December?
Yeah, so I mean, going into the attempt, I was ready for anything. I was ready for sort of, you know, minus degrees, snow down and a frost, or just like rain, wet, sloppy conditions. It turned out that I got the rain in the end and the wind. So, yeah, it was a very wet and windy affair. I've never spent such a long time in bad weather in the mountains, wow. To be fair. It was the wind that got to me the most in the end. I just felt like I was constantly being blown over. And at one point, me and my crew were being blown over. So I did get quite worried about the whole situation at that point. But we definitely had some weather, but it wasn't super cold. It wasn't snowy. But I was wearing two jackets for pretty much the entire attempt. Wow. So it was chilly.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because it leaves a little door open to be like, well, if the weather had been less windy, but that sort of looked more sort of warmer, like, could it have been faster? Do you think, like, did you finish and go like, oh, there's, you know, that element is, because wind is absolutely, like, if you're into a block headwind for like half of that whole thing, you're like, that's hours. Like, could you suddenly be like, wow, that was amazing and what a great time, but it was windy. What happens if it wasn't windy? Like, has that been a thought process?
Definitely. But I do feel like when you attempt a midwinter round or a winter round, it's not so much about necessarily setting the fastest possible right. time that you can. It's more about getting around in one piece and sort yeah. of surviving the adventure. But I'm very keen on having a crack one day on the summer round, because right. I think there you're looking at dry conditions underfoot, no wind, more daylight for sure.
Yeah.
And that's more of a really try and set a proper fast time.
Wow.
So yeah, I'll be hopefully coming back in 2025 to attempt the sub round as well.
Oh, great.
Because I do feel like I want to see how fast I can go. But I was very pleased with my time for the midwinter round.
Yes. Incredible.
And there's definitely room to shave time off, because it's such a conditions game. If you have, you know, no wind, yeah. no rain, it's dry underfoot, and great.
It's a, where you are in Norway, is there an equivalent kind of race? I'm just sort of interested in terms of like where you're racing at home. Are there rounds or an equivalent courses that you have eyed up in terms of like that we wouldn't know about? Because we can talk about Bob Graham and know all about it, but you'll be like, oh, there's something equally as challenging here that we, you know, that people should try.
You can definitely get equally challenging routes. I think what's very unique about the Bob Graham round is that it's got all the history and this sort of mythical thing that yeah. surrounds it. So that's one of the reasons I was so attracted to the Bob Graham round. It wasn't just another FKT or another round in the middle of sort of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's this really unique, special thing with all this history that surrounds it. I mean, it dates back to 1932 when Bob Graham first set the yeah. sort of route. So yeah, you can definitely get equally challenging things in other places, but I think the Bob Graham is more than just sort of a, you know,
a time and a place. A yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk about training then. I'm going to say that most of our listeners are probably never going to do a midwinter Bob Graham. You can email in and let me know about five if I'm doing a disservice there. I'm including myself. But if you want to train for, let's say, something that's really hilly, really hilly race, what are some of the things that you would recommend people do?
I think the most important thing when you're faced with a lot of hills in a race is to get your legs resilient and used to sort of moving both up, but also very importantly, downhill. Because when I did the Bob Graham, for example, I didn't mind the uphills. They're comfortable on your legs. It's run downhill that can really, you know, sort of screw with your knees and your ligaments and your quads and what. So it's really important to incorporate that aspect in training. Just like you do uphill intervals, you can do short downhill intervals to get your legs more resilient and fatigue resistant in a way to the downhills. I'd err on the side of caution. You don't want to blast downhill full pelt for, you know, 20 minutes nonstop. You want to eat in at sometimes 1-2 minutes at sort of 80% of max is sort of good enough. Do it 2 or 3 times before your race and you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck.
That's good.
That is good, isn't it?
Everyone always considers the up, but the down is the bit that really gets you. It certainly gets me. Last time I did a trail race, it was the down that really got me. That was, absolutely.
I mean, you live in a pretty hilly area, Henry, I'm guessing. But what about if someone who doesn't have access to like really long inclines or descents? Is there a way of trying to get that kind of that training in if you live, say, in a city? Do you think?
So if I lived in London, for example, which I did do back in the day, first of all, you can actually, if you look around, you can find smaller hills most places. So first off, check around because you'll be surprised what you can find. So do that. If you cannot find hills, I recommend jumping on a incline treadmill to do uphill intervals. And what I would then try is maybe every other weekend or at least a couple of times before your race, travel slightly out of where you live to get some natural hills to train on. It's definitely worth doing it because you're just going to have a much better time come race. So I would try and incorporate some natural hills because otherwise you're in for a
shock
for a long day.
Yeah, I've been there.
I didn't sign up for this. Are you a gym goer? Do you find are you a strict strength and conditioning kind of runner, or do you let the sort of natural environment hone your skills?
I'd say I'm actually a gym goer. I do go to the gym twice a week to do sort of upper body strength and maintain muscle mass. And I quite enjoy that. But I do spend a fair amount of time in the mountains as well. So yeah, a bit of both.
That's good.
Are you, because I know a lot of people who are very good trail runners and are in the kind of environment you are, they'll do a lot of skiing in the winter. Is that something that you and John do, or is it, or you just try and keep it as specific as possible and all your kind of long outings are actually running based?
I just came in from a 4-hour ski.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we do a lot of ski mountaineering in the winter, partly because we think that if you run too much over a long, long time, you're just grinding your body down. So we like to give our bodies a bit of a rest, cross train, be it biking or ski mountaineering, and just finds that it sort of resets the body in a nice way so that we're able to push a bit harder when it does sort of come running season again.
So you might do like the equivalent of like a long run on a bike, for instance. Do you think, is that something you think people can potentially swap in, swap out if they're feeling the kind of grind of lots of running?
Yeah, for sure. So like in the winter, biking or ski mountaineering, we sort of do our long sessions on that. The closer we get to the spring, we might incorporate some brick sessions where we like go out on the bike to get a bit tired first, and then we sort of finish off with just like an hour run, for example. That's a really great way of sort of getting that endurance aspect into your training without getting all that pounding. But when you are sort of 8 weeks out from your race, you want to gradually build up those long runs, because at the end of the day, your legs just need to get used to running for a long duration, especially if you're doing an ultra race, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Some hacks. I wish I could go skiing. I feel like that would be, we haven't quite got the weather here. I think that would be a good non-impact, but like really hard cardio kind of stuff that it really like makes a difference. You get a lot of ultra runners and like pro tour cyclists, like they're, especially the French guys, they love a bit of skiing in the off season to keep that the engine really strong. Yeah. I think we're missing a trick here, Rick.
You're right. I'm interested in your, when you go to the gym, are you doing just upper body, or are you doing some of the classic lower body strength work as well?
I do focus on the upper body, but I'll incorporate some legs towards the end of the session. Normally just like two or three exercises I find is enough, because especially with the skiing and cycling on the side, I do get a lot of strength through that as well.
Yeah.
But I'll do like a squat, a hip thrust, leg curls, that sort of thing.
Nice.
And in terms of what else have you got planned for 2024? Obviously, 2023 ended on like an amazing note. What are some of the goals that you'd like to achieve this year?
Yeah, I had to have a good think about it, because I was a bit lost, to be fair, after doing the Bob Graham. But you got to enter all your races now, essentially, because entries run out. But I decided I want to head back to the UK, so I'll be going for Snowdonia 50k by UTMB mid-May. So I'll be doing some of those brick sessions come March, April for sure.
Excellent.
Have you got your eye on any, now that you've taken on this round and you've got all these other possible classic fabled routes that you could attempt, is that now, do you not want to let that dominate too much, like how your year is going to progress? Or do you now see that like as a nice,
like the Ramsey or something?
Yeah. Or do you like, is the end of the year sort of like, well, if I could do the Ramsey, or I could do the something, you know, like Three Peaks, or I don't know, like some thing that you can kind of aim towards the end of the year just for fun?
Yeah, so I definitely get a lot of enjoyment out of doing these personal projects off my own back.
Mm.
So I will aim to incorporate another sort of project come October, November, December time in 2024. Whether it's another UK-based one or whether I look to other destinations as well, I haven't quite decided. But yeah, I will for sure be incorporating that as well, because I think, well, at least with myself, I can get a bit too bogged down in the sort of racing world.
Yeah.
And races are great and they're super challenging in their own way, but there's something very special and unique about just going out into the mountains off your own initiative as well and having that adventure.
Yeah, and I think that that's a lot of, I think that's probably the most relatable thing that our listeners will have, is that a lot of their running will be for that personal gain. I mean, obviously there's a lot of race focused stuff that takes place, but personally speaking, like, I love going off for just a run in the outside for the sake of it and for it to be fun and to get satisfaction from the environment that I'm in. So I go out in the forest and, you know, and spend some time there and feel much better, so I come back. So it's really nice to hear that, you know, the combination of both is very much part and part of your enjoyment of running, racing, and also having that personal enjoyment.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey Rich, thanks so much for your time and coming on the podcast. If people want to find out more about your running, your racing and running adventures, you're online, aren't you? Where could people go?
Instagram is probably where I update the most and sort of keep my followers updated on race plans and personal projects and training. I also have an app called Alban App with my husband, John Alban, which is like a training platform, so you can check that out as well. And like the majority of runners, I'm on Strava. So.
There we go. Hey, we had a runner on who'd used the app.
Oh, the Alban app's meant to be absolutely amazing, yeah.
We had a pro on who'd just done something fantastic who'd used the app. So there we go. I can't remember, but there you go.
It was either, yeah. But we'll have to go back.
Was it Elsie?
It might have been Elsie Davis, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
She's a good runner, and she's using the Alban app. So So there you go.
He's okay.
Yeah. Great.
Hey, man, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for your time. Best of luck with all your running in 2024. And congratulations on the record for the midwinter Bob Graham round.
Thanks very much. And thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Henriette Alban, and to you, of course, for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.